Thank you again for, as we close out this year, close out 2013, and we look forward to a new year and all of the possibilities. Lord, those things that fill our hearts. I just pray that we would bring all of those into your presence today, that we would lay those things at your feet, Father. And that we would allow you to move in really powerful ways in our lives. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, chapter 7. Chapter 7, again, begins the next major section of this book of 1 Corinthians. In chapters 7 through 14, Paul is addressing a series of questions that the church in Corinth, the people in Corinth, had asked him. They sent him a letter and said, hey, what do we do about these things? And so he's answering their questions. And it's really impossible for us to know exactly what those questions were because we don't have their letter. We can kind of deduce what they might have been, but we don't know for sure. The bottom line, the questions are not what's important. What's important for us are the answers. These answers that Paul gives us here in Scripture. We have everything that we need right here. The first questions seems to be, they had to do with marital issues. How does my marital status affect my walk with God? How does it affect, you know, the life that I am living? How do these things work together? My relationship with God, how is that affected? Is remaining celibate, is that a thing that leads to greater spirituality? Because in the city of Corinth, there were many people who believed that. They taught in the Greek philosophy that if you were celibate, somehow you were much more spiritual. And those things were beginning to find their way into the church. In fact, we see some traditions today who hold that. You know, their priests have to remain celibate as some kind of, you know, higher spirituality. Paul says, not true. It's not the case. You know, that doesn't matter. That's not what drives this. Another question had to do with, what if I'm married to an unbeliever? You know, many people in Corinth were raised as pagans, and they found a spouse and got married and started a family. And then all of a sudden, Paul shows up, and he starts proclaiming the truth of Jesus Christ, salvation through faith in Christ. And people are getting saved, but their spouses are going, nah, I like the temple. I'm going to continue to go do that. And so believers are asking, what do I do? You know, what do I do in this situation? And Paul addresses that. And he also, they ask the question, what about believing couples that just can't get along? That they're just at odds constantly. And Paul talks about that. And so we come to verse 25. And verse 25 begins this way. About virgins. As if last week wasn't bad enough. This word can also be translated or refer to those who are engaged. And so it may very well be that he's talking about those who are in that marital no man's land, you know, engagement. You're still single, but, you know, marriage is right around the corner, and so there is that middle ground that is engagement. And it may be that he's talking to people who are in that state in their life. But he's going to talk to singles here, for sure, and to parents as we get toward the end of the chapter. And he says next, I have no command from the Lord, but I do give an opinion as one who, by the Lord's mercy, is trustworthy. He says, I have no command from God in this. Now, what does he mean by that? Well, what he's saying is that there is no, and again, Paul didn't have the New Testament. All he had was the Old Testament in his time, and he's saying, in the Old Testament, there is no command from God about either staying single or getting married. We don't have a command, thou shalt get married, you know, because we don't need that command. We're going to do that naturally. We don't have to be told by God to get married. And for those who are called to singleness, it's just a natural thing for them. And so he's saying there's no command in these regards. Now, we have commands about how we are to treat each other within the marriage relationship, but there's no command to get married or to remain single. God gives us commands regarding the things that we need to do and the things that we need not to do that go contrary to our nature. Those are the commands that we receive from God. What are a couple of the Ten Commandments? One of them is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart. You know, love God. Why? Because our tendency is to love ourselves. That's our nature. Our fallen nature is to, I'm going to love me. I'm not going to love God. I'm not going to love anybody else. I'm going to be focused on myself. That is our fallen nature. And so God has to tell us, no, you need to love me. You need to love the Lord your God. He says, do not murder. Why? Because that's what we do. That's our nature. Man, you take my stuff, I kill you. You know, that's who we are. We are our broken, fallen nature is, you know, we will kill each other. And so God has to say, don't do that. You shouldn't murder. You know, when my kids were little, I never had to command them to eat ice cream. You know, I never once sat them down at a table, put a bowl of ice cream down, and said, you can't get up from the table until you eat that ice cream. You know, they would do it on their own. You just didn't have, maybe your kids are like that too. You don't have to command them to do certain things. And so God doesn't command us to get married because we're going to do that naturally. So there's no command about getting married, but Paul says, I have an opinion. Yeah, he did. Verse 26, therefore I consider this to be good because of the present distress. It is fine for a man to remain as he is. Now, he just got through saying this in the previous verses 17 through 24. He said, you know, stay in whatever state that you're in. He was talking more broadly in these previous verses, talking about those who are free and those who are slaves. And, you know, he said, just sit tight where you are. God has you where you are for a reason. Now, though, he applies this to those who are single. And notice he says, in light of this present distress. Interesting phrase. We have no idea what he was talking about. Because it's kind of a general phrase. He may have been talking about some of the things that were taking place in the Corinthian, in the city of Corinth, or in the Roman Empire as a whole. You know, things were starting to get hinky. The Roman Empire was starting to come down. There was a growing pressure against the church and against believers. And so he may have been talking about that. He may have been just offering a general opinion just about life in general, that things are tough, that there is a distress in this present life. And so Paul says, in light of what's going on, don't spend all of your energies trying to either get married, and he's going to talk about this, or get out of marriage. Don't spend your time, your energies on changing your status. God has you where you are for a reason, and possibly for a season. But he has you right where you are for a particular purpose, and he wants you to see those things. If you're single, he says, man, look for ways to serve God in your present state as a single person. Find ways to do that. And if you're married, the same thing. You know, find ways to serve God in the place that he has you. Verse 27, he says, are you bound to a wife? Don't seek to be loosed. Paul doesn't really present marriage in a very flattering way here. You know, are you bound to a wife? Maybe this is where we get the phrase, the old ball and chain. You know, I don't see marriage that way. But, you know, and I really don't think Paul did either. But that's the way that some people may see it. But, you know, in another way, it may be good for us to understand that there is a binding in marriage that is natural and that is good, and that we need to take more seriously. Boy, in our culture today, it is so easy for people to hop in and hop out of marriage. And as believers, as followers of Christ, we should not be drawn into that way of thinking. To just, let's just jump in, jump out, no big deal. We shouldn't be quick to break those bonds, because they are there, they are strong, and it's devastating when they are broken. If you're married, man, don't be looking for the exit. Don't be looking for a quick way out, an easy way out. How can I get out of this situation? Paul says, don't do that. You know, you're in this for a reason. Deal with it and see where God wants to use you in the midst of it. Next, he says, are you loosed from a wife? Or are you not married? Then don't seek a wife. However, if you do get married, you have not sinned, and if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. But such people will have trouble in this life, and I'm trying to spare you. Paul just really practical in this, isn't it? If you're single, don't seek after a wife. Good advice. Don't be on the hunt for a woman, you know, if you're a guy. Don't be seeking a wife. You know, somebody said this, if you go out in the jungle and start beating the bushes for a spouse, don't be surprised if what you find is an animal. You know, because that's where the animals are. They're in the jungle. They're in the bushes. And so if you're beating the bushes trying to find somebody, that's who you're going to come away with. Don't hunt for a wife. She will come. He will come in their proper time. During difficult times, Paul is saying that life is just easier. If you don't have a wife, you don't have a family to watch over and to provide for, it's just things are easier for you. You know, I think of what's going on in throughout many places in the Middle East today. Places like Syria, places like Pakistan, places like Iraq, where Christians really are under attack. We see churches being bombed and people being murdered. You know, just imagine what life is like for them. As a believer in Christ, as a follower of Christ, and watching your children murdered in the street. You know, Paul says, in light of this present distress, and again, we don't know exactly what that was, but he says, better not to. Life is tough for them. Life is just easier without a family, when the circumstances of life are challenging like that. And it gets complicated when you get married. I mean, that's just a reality of life. If you're married, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know, I'm kind of a simple guy. I like things simple. I like things uncomplicated. I like, you know, I travel light. If I have something in my house that I don't use within a year, it's gone. I don't like clutter. I don't like stuff. I just like things simple. And when I married my wife, when I met Peggy, I thought, this woman is awesome. This is a good woman. Military trained, you know, well, Air Force. You know, trained and, you know, buttoned down, she had her stuff together. I thought, man, this is a woman that we can have a life together. We can travel, we can do ministry, we can do all kinds of things, because this woman's got it together. And so we got married and things were going great, and then we had our first PCS move. We'd both been through PCS moves before. We knew what that was like. And the truck pulls up in front of the house, and out of the attic, out of the every closet imaginable, boxes of stuff start coming. I'm going, what is this? She said, it's my stuff. I'm going, well, what stuff? What is all of this stuff? She had boxes of yarn that she had purchased, because someday she's going to learn how to knit. And I'm saying, honey, you can't sit still long enough to construct a sentence. How would you ever, ever have find time to knit? It's just not, no, it's going to happen. I'm going to do this someday. Honey, it's not, yeah. Okay, all right, keep the boxes. A lot of these boxes had, you know, multiple stickers on them from multiple moves. They'd never been unpacked from the previous three moves. You know, that boxes of photographs, you know, the old Polaroid kind, that back in the 80s, you know. I don't have the heart to tell her that those things are just gray squares now because those pictures don't last, you know. But someday she's going to do a photo album, you know. My point is, life gets complicated when you get married. You know, there are things that go along with marriage. And I wouldn't trade her for anything. Paul says, I want to spare you. I want to spare you those things. Look at verse 29. And I say this, brothers, the time is limited. So from now on, those who have wives should be as though they had none. Now, don't let your brain stop there. I'm going to just explain what he's saying here. But those who weep as though they did not weep. Those who rejoice as though they did not rejoice. Those who buy as though they did not possess. And those who use the world as though they did not make full use of it. For this world, in its current form, is passing away. The idea here is that this world is right before our very eyes passing away. It is in the process of passing away right in front of us. If you don't believe me, just check the lint trap in your dryer. You know, all the money you spend on your wardrobe, that's where it all ends up. Lint trap in your dryer, you know. You know what I'm talking about, ladies? You know, okay. Some, yes, no. That's where all the money goes. Everything in this world is passing away. It is going the way of all things. He says, don't live your life in total devotion to the temporary, because it's all temporary. It's all passing away. He says, Christ is coming and this world is passing away. And so in that sense, then, live as though you're not married. Live as though you don't have a spouse. It says, don't let your spouse, don't let your kids, don't let your career, don't let your retirement, don't let those things become idols in your life. Because those things are all passing away. They're not going to stay. If you're saving money as a nest egg, and that's a good thing, you should do that. But understand, that's not where your security is. If you're paying off a mortgage, you think you've got a house? No, you don't. So all that stuff's going to burn. It's all going to go away. I really like what Gail Irwin said. He says that that money talks. It says, goodbye. That's what my money says. Marriage is not eternal. Your career is not eternal. You're not going to have your current job in eternity, you know? Your current job is not going to be there for you. He says, don't live this life for the temporal things. You're not going to have your job in eternity. Don't be completely devoted to your work. You need to work hard, and you need to do your best, absolutely, but don't be consumed by it. That's what he's saying. Your career, my career, guys, it's all going to change in the twinkling of an eye. At the sound of a trumpet, we're all going to get new jobs. We're all going to have new things to do. I'm looking forward to that. So don't be driven by the things of this world, not even the good things that God gives us. You know, we can't be totally focused on those. We need to live in light of eternity. He says in verse 32, I want you to be without concerns. An unmarried man is concerned about the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. And this is he's assuming that this guy is a believer, a follower of Christ. But a married man is concerned about the things of the world, how he may please his wife, and his interests are divided. An unmarried woman or a virgin is concerned about the things of the Lord, so that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. Paul's point again is that he didn't want them to be distracted. He doesn't want us to be distracted by the worries of married life and of the daily grind, you know, the Monday through Friday thing. He doesn't want us to be distracted by that and consumed with it. A single person just has more time to devote to the things of God than a married person. A married person has responsibilities. And those responsibilities are things that we are supposed to do. You need to be devoted to your family. You need to spend a certain amount of time with them. But a single person doesn't have that responsibility, and that's Paul's point here. But again, he's saying, if being married is your calling, and if you are married, then that is your calling. If being married is your calling, then that's where you need to work out your faith in the context of the marriage contract. Verse 35, he says, "Now I am saying this for your own benefit, not to put a restraint on you, but because of what is proper, and so that you may be devoted to the Lord without distraction." Again, that's his desire. The reason I think Paul remained unmarried is so that he could devote his life fully to Christ and to the ministry that God had called him to. Many scholars believe that Paul was married at some point in his life. He was a part of the Sanhedrin, and in order to be in the Sanhedrin, you had to be married. But at this point, Paul is single, and we don't know what happened with the wife. She's never mentioned. He never talks about her. So either she died or she divorced him. That was certainly a possibility. I mean, if you think about Paul's life, you know, he left home one day and said, "Honey, I'm headed to Damascus. I'll be there for a few days. I'll be back." 3 years later, he shows up a believer in Christ, a Jesus freak. You know, what would you do as a wife, as a non-believer? Say, "Get out of here, bud. I don't want any part of this." So we really don't know, though, what happened to his wife or to the marriage relationship that he had. But Paul understands that the ministry that God called him to would be difficult for any woman, and especially if there were kids. And so I believe part of the reason that he chose to stay single was because of the ministry that God called him to. Starting in verse 36, Paul is going to talk to Christian parents about their kids and about marriage. Interesting stuff here. He says, "But if any man thinks he is acting improperly toward his virgin, toward his daughter," meaning keeping her from being married, "if any man thinks he is acting improperly toward his virgin, if she is past marriageable age, and so it must be, he can do what he wants. He can let her get married if that's what she wants. He is not sinning. They can get married." Talking about his daughter and the person that she is interested in marrying. "If a dad is keeping his daughter single," he says, that's okay. That's an okay thing, but it's not a necessary thing. If she wants to get married, just let her get married. It's okay. You're not sinning in letting her do that. You know, in this culture, parents arranged most of the marriages. You know, when I was in my 20s, I thought that was a pretty bizarre way of getting people together, of making marriages happen. But then I had a daughter. I thought, you know what, that's not such a bad idea. as she began to get older, you know, I think, you know, parents should be involved in this. Verse 37, he says, "But he who stands firm in his heart, who is under no compulsion, but has control over his own will and has decided in his heart to keep his own virgin, as it means to keep her single, is what he's talking about, keep his daughter single, will do well. So then, he who marries his virgin does well, but he who does not marry will do better. Talking about marrying the daughter off or not. But I like the fact that Paul refuses to just put a list together of things to do and things not to do, things to consider in regard to allowing your daughter to get married. What he does here is he just says, seek the Lord in this. The Lord will tell you, the Lord will show you. What is God telling you to do about her? Now, he doesn't try to be the Bible answer man for all of these men. He's pushing them into a closer relationship with God. You ask God. You let him speak to you. You know better. You know your daughter better than I do. For parents today, arranged marriages, probably not going to fly. Just saying, for your kids. Probably they're going to push back against that. But guys, as they approach that age, I think the key for us is to know them and to know the Lord. To seek the Lord in regard to her and do that with her. Know her heart as best you can. Know the bent of her life. Know your child. And in the midst of that, seek the Lord. What is God saying? What is God saying to you? God has given you as parents more understanding about your kids than anybody else. Now, I want you to listen for just a second. Because we live in a culture today that is filled with experts. People who will tell you that they know more about your kids than you do. Not true. Not true at all. God has given you supernaturally wisdom, knowledge, and understanding about your child. Don't let the experts tell you things that you know in your heart are wrong, because you know better. You're the parent. God gave that child to you. You do what God is telling you to do with that child and for that child. But you need to know your child and you need to seek the Lord. Those are the two key elements of this in dealing with your children. If you do that, things will work out. Things will be fine. I didn't say they'd be perfect, but they will be fine. They will work out. The Lord will teach you. He will instruct you. Well, the chapter closes out this way, and we'll finish with these last few verses. Verse 39, he says, a wife is bound as long as her husband is living. But if her husband dies, she is free to be married to anyone she wants. Now, ladies, don't get the wrong idea here. He's not saying to take matters into your own hand. That's not the point here. But if your husband dies, you're able to marry anyone that you want, although not anybody. Brad Pitt's already taken, so it's not just anybody. But here's the thing to consider. You can marry who you want only in the Lord. Only in the Lord. But she is happier if she remains as she is, in my opinion, Paul says. And I think that I also have the Spirit of God. Marriage is a sacred thing. It's sacred in the eyes of God. And we need to see it that way as well. It shouldn't be dissolved according to some whim or because life doesn't work out the way that you thought it should or the way that you want it to. Too many Christians today just have this idea which comes direct from the world that, if it doesn't work out, if the marriage doesn't work out, then we'll just get a divorce. No, it should not be that way. It must not be that way. Paul is very clear in this. Marriage is a sacred thing before God, and we need to see it that way. We need to take it that way. If he dies, Paul says to the wife, if your husband dies, then you're free to remarry. There's no restraint there. But he says, think it over. think it over. You know, there is so much more freedom as a single person. It's better, he says, you'll be happier if you remain single. But he says, if you remarry, it must be in the Lord. You must make sure that he is a follower of Christ, that he has the same commitment to Christ that you have. He must be in the Lord. Well, I'm going to have the worship team come up and close our service today. And go ahead and stand. Why don't you stand with us as we close. You know, as we head into New Year 2014, a lot of people are, you know, have on their hearts New Year's resolutions. And one of the resolutions that I make every year is that I resolve not to make any New Year's resolutions. I just don't do them because I don't keep them anyway, so why go through the bother of that? But you know, if you're a person who likes to make New Year's resolutions, let me suggest one to you this year, and that is that you resolve not to stress over your life. That you're not going to stress over, you know, where the next assignment is, or if the job is even going to be there, or what's down the road, and where are the kids going to be, and all of the things of life that just invade our peace with God. Resolve not to worry about those things. Worry is such a great killer for us. Because it says, you know what, I really don't trust God that much. I trust him a little bit, or maybe this much, but there are a lot of things that I don't trust God for. God wants you to rely on him. He wants you to trust in him. Let's make 2014 the year that we trust God. We find new faith, and we find new ways to walk in that faith. Father, we thank you for the last year, for 2013. We thank you for this new year that you are setting before us with so many possibilities. But Lord, there are so many things we worry about as well. Father, help us to trust in you. Help us to find new ways to rely on you. Lord, help us to see that you are in the process of growing our faith, our trust that you are going to be there, that you are going to provide, and that you're going to lead. We thank you, Lord, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.